Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/Barry and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Barry, B-E-R-R-Y. Thanks for your help.
I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
It is noon on a Thursday at the happy hour, but of course it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Tom Brady drinks free at our bar, and I think pretty much any bar he walks into. I don't remember the last time Tom Brady probably had to pay for a drink. Welcome in to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Matthew Berry, Jay Croucher, Lawrence Jackson here, and the GOAT of GOATs, Tom Brady, number 12, hanging it up. A man who is probably most known for saying he would beat me in a 40-yard dash.
Yeah, I believe that's...
like, when you look at all the accomplishments of, you know, that's probably
well,
what comes
first.
He ain't
accomplished that yet.
Yes,
he's
that's
still
got to
do it.
He's still
got to
do that.
It.
Long list of everything to do. So, emotional goodbye. Lots to get to. Actually, kind of, it's the Thursday before Super Bowl week, and the three of us will all be in Arizona next week. So, we will be broadcasting live Monday through Friday, live here on Peacock, obviously, at noon Eastern every single day from Radio Row, and obviously available on demand wherever you get your podcasts, the NFL and NBC YouTube channel as well. Can't wait, because there's always like a lot of great guests. We'll have to talk to them. But before we get to all the news of the day, and there's been a lot of coaching changes as well, I think we got to start with TB12.
Indeed.
Sure. And firstly, Lawrence Jackson actually posted a retirement video on the same day as Tom Brady, but no one saw it.
No one saw it.
And so now he's just still here. Right? He's just come back in for work.
The last thing you want to do is retire the same day as Tom Brady. In fact, I think this will keep Aaron Rodgers from retiring. Because I saw a tweet like, he ain't going to retire, because then they'll go in the Hall of Fame the same year.
And then he's got to play. He doesn't want to play second fiddle Tom Brady.
Can't do that.
So Aaron Rodgers absolutely playing another year.
Yeah.
So, like, even if he quits after one season, one game.
Yeah, right.
You know?
We'll get to fantasy implications of Brady retiring, but one of the biggest ones is that Aaron Rodgers is going to help a team, I think,
right,
in the fact that he's sticking around. But in terms of best memories.
And by the way, just not to derail this, but I don't know if you saw this, but he might have been screwing around, but Devontae Adams last night was doing like a Q&A on Twitter with people, and somebody tweeted at him, what neighborhood does Aaron Rodgers move to? And Devontae Adams quote tweeted and said, mine.
Like mine, yeah.
I think athletes are getting better at just kind of poking fun at the power that they can wield, like the Arian Foster thing with the NFL being rigged and all of that. Like,
that's a bit the Arian Foster accusing the NFL.
People going for it, though. They really going for that, though.
I mean, we live in an era where anything put on social media, somebody believes it. You know, somebody's crazy uncle on Facebook, is now posting it and sending it around to everyone. So, and by the way, just because Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams might be neighbors, doesn't mean they play for the same team. But I thought that was interesting. But let's focus this on TB12. I 100% agree with you and Lawrence that obviously this means Rodgers is coming back. He is not going to want to go into the Hall of Fame the same year as Tom Brady. But let's take a moment here and just – we didn't really get a chance to – you know, this is our first show since he announced his retirement. So I'll just kind of go around the horn and just, you know, give, you know, some thoughts on Tom Brady, Lawrence.
I mean, look, man, whether you love him or you hate him, you will miss him in the game. Like, he was the NFL, you know. So, you know, immediately when he made his little retirement video, I appreciated the fact that he was just like, look, man, I'm going to just get this out of the way. I did the long thing last year, you know. Let me just get to it. Let the Buccaneers get to figuring out what they have to do. And for me, I immediately thought of my best Tom Brady memory.
Okay.
Which for me, you know, a kid coming from Georgia is obviously Super Bowl 51.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 51. I have come to appreciate that moment. Like, I don't lose sleep over that. It's
over
just
28-3,
like,
you don't?
Nah,
greatness of Brady?
That's, you just got to chalk it up to that. Like, if the quarterback on the other side is Tom Brady, then 28-3, like, you not safe. Or if you Trevor Lawrence, you know, one of those two guys can come
27
back.
27-0.
So, yeah, I just, you know, I started just thinking about one of – if it's not my best time, my favorite Tom Brady moment, it's the most memorable one for me.
Sure. I was at that – I was actually at that Super Bowl. I mean, it was like, another thing. It just – it felt like in that Super Bowl – it just felt like the first half, like everyone, and we were, my wife and I were there with two friends that are diehard Patriots fans.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, like they'd seen a ghost the first half. They're just like,
you know, pick
and, but
six
then,
and
but
all.
Then, but once it started happening, especially after the Edelman catch, it was just like, this has happened. Like it just, now it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Right. And they didn't lead till overtime. No one, you know, no one, that's the thing. Yeah. Everyone, 28-3 is what everyone talks about, but no one remembers the fact that they literally did not lead in that game until they took the lead in overtime to win the game.
I think, to me, what I remember most about Brady is just that sense of inevitability when he was driving down to take the lead or to tie the game, and just like the fatalism that the other team would feel that it just wasn't going to happen. Like, think about that game against Atlanta where people don't remember this, but like, I think Gostkowski missed an extra point when it was 28-3 to go up 28-9.
I remember.
Brady had to convert 2 2-point conversions, and when he's doing that at the end of the game, it's like, this is 100% chance that he's going to convert this, and then there's 100% chance that he's going to drive down the field in overtime. But I think his greatest masterpiece wasn't even that. I think it was the Seattle Super Bowl, where he scores the two touchdowns, the two drives in the fourth quarter after the Legion of Boom kind of rattles him early on, and to bounce back and win that game. Everyone remembers Malcolm Butler, but Brady was majestic in that fourth quarter.
He 100% was. I mean, you know, I've seen Brady win a number of his Super Bowls, not all of them, but a number of them. You know, I mean, I got to go to the Super Bowl for basically the last 10 to 12 years that I was at ESPN. So obviously a lot of those covered Brady Super Bowls. So, but I think the thing that I, you know, I mean, there's so many things that sort of come to mind when you think about Brady, but whatever, I'm a fantasy guy, right? And so I think about 2007, right? I mean, like
the
50 touchdown year, like I had him on a team. You know, and it was just one of those things where you talk about the inevitability. Like, it didn't matter who else you started. Like, I got Tom, you know, and he was just, he just went absolutely crazy that 2007 year. By the way, 2021, also one of the great fantasy seasons, one of the top 17 best single season fantasy point totals by a quarterback in NFL history. You see it there. Here's just some of the games that you remember. You think about, you know, that crazy game against the Titans in 2009. Obviously, the Dolphins game in 07 was the was during that crazy run. And look at all the, like,
look at them Bucks games.
Look at them
right?
Bucks games.
It shows what the league has become now.
You know, my friend and former colleague Phil Yates had a great tweet about Brady, just saying, like, broke down his stats by decade, and just like his stats as a 20-year-old, Hall of Fame worthy. His stats as a 30-year-old. Hall of Fame worthy. His stats as a 40-year-old Hall of Fame worthy. Like, if you only could have took his stats from 40 to 45,
there's just multiple Super Bowls in each decade too.
7 Super Bowl wins, 5 Super Bowl MVPs. He's the NFL leading scorer in the NFL leader, I should say, in passing touchdowns, passing yards, completions, attempts, game-winning drives, fourth quarter comebacks, quarterback starts, quarterback wins, touchdown yards and wins in the playoffs, and of course, no player in NFL history has scored more fantasy points than Thomas Brady, number 12. GOAT of goats.
Yes. Also the betting goat as well. No one has covered the spread more than Tom Brady. He covered in 58% of his games. So if you just bet on Tom Brady every single game, you would have won money, which is no surprise. And there's no more terrifying feeling the past two decades in the NFL than betting against Tom Brady in a big game. And I'll never forget the second Giants Super Bowl, where I was on the Giants money line, and there was just this sense that this guy just won't die. He just will not die. And when they're going down the field at the end and Gronk just barely doesn't get the Hail Mary in the end zone, Brady on that drive, he had like a 4th and 20 that he converted. And it's just like, this guy just won't go down. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. And I think that'll be his legacy. This feeling that there was just, there was some higher power that was just propelling him.
The inevitability is just a great phrase. I agree. That just like it's, you know, the all the cliches. Did they leave too much time for Tom Brady?
Always
and the
do.
Answer is yes. It doesn't matter how much time they left for Tom Brady. If they left any amount of time for Tom Brady, it was too much. Yeah. And you just knew it was over. Even this past year, the primetime game against the Saints, right? Like you were like, that was a game where neither offense was running. Like the offensive line was so beat up. Tom's just getting hit left and right. He's got no receivers out there that are helping him out at all. And yet still, at the end of it, whatever it was, like 16-9 or whatever, you knew like this. I forget what the exact score was, but like he had like 2.5 minutes left in a game in which they hadn't moved the ball at all the entire game. And you're like, well. Yep.
Oh, boy, 2.5 minutes, that's like a quarter for Tom.
I know.
Like, you got time. And now I'm even thinking about Jacksonville a couple of years back, the AFC Championship. Like, they had them dead to rights, too, with Blake Bortles. But, you know.
Right.
I should have lost that game. That was a weird fumble.
But it's like,
that
it's
wasn't
so
a pump,
many yeah. games he should have lost, but it's like he did it. And he's had a lot of good teams and good defenses, obviously, Bill Belichick. But it's never a coincidence when a guy go to 10 Super Bowls and you the quarterback on all of those teams.
And by the way, I think that's a great point here. And I think that the fascinating thing is that for so long, the critics of Brady, and the more he played, they got less and less and less. But the critics of Brady would say, system quarterback, benefited from Belichick, benefited from the greatest coach, you know, whatever, Deflategate and blah, 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 blah. Like, those are the things they'll say. So, okay, fine. Like, but then he goes to Tampa Bay as a 40-year-old. Like,
first year.
At 43 years old and takes a 7-9 team the year before to the Super Bowl and wins the following year. Like, to me, like, any question you had, and I didn't have any questions, but there are naysayers out there.
I used to ask some questions like 2010, 11, but that was who a lot of people did.
Right.
But it's like
you
come
around.
Yeah, it's like it ain't no coincidence you just winning 7 Super Bowls. Like, that's nuts.
Yeah, I think with Brady, I mean, the thing that I'll remember about him from a player perspective as well, one, just always standing so tall in the pocket, just being so courageous as well, just taking hits. You know, the broadcasters always talk about how you have to stand tall in the pocket, have to wear the hit because it'll allow the receiver to get open. I'll never forget AFC title game in Denver against the Broncos, the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl, where Brady is just under absolute siege from, DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, just getting sacked and sacked and sacked. And he's just taking the hits, and then he converts the 4th and 10 to Gronk down the field, and they lose by 2 in the end. But he just wouldn't never die. And the greatest.
And by the way, I mean, we talked about this year. Like his longevity, we make fun of like the kale salads and whatever the
avocado
broccoli,
ice cream,
the avocado ice cream and the broccoli milkshakes and everything like that. But the fact of the matter is, no, look, this year, what was the number? 67 different quarterbacks started a game in the NFL. This year, 67 different quarterbacks. Yeah. I mean, we just saw it with San Francisco. San Francisco was down to their fourth string. They had to play their emergency quarterback, their fifth string quarterback in an NFC title game. And yet, at age 45, Tom Brady played every game.
One major injury.
In a career that, spanned multiple decades,
That's wild.
Right?
Even with the new protection of the quarterbacks, that's like, man, that man is just blessed.
Lawrence, 67 quarterbacks started a game this year, and it wasn't all because of ineffective play.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, again, I mean, whatever. Just think about the last two games we saw. Okay, Joe Burrow played every game. But we saw some Chad Henne this year, against the Jaguars. Yeah. Obviously, Gardner Minshew started a couple games for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And then you know, the Niners, of course, from Trey Lance to Garoppolo to Brock Purdy to Josh Johnson to Chris McCaffrey running the Wildcat. I mean,
that so, counts.
Right. Anyway, so his just longevity is incredible. I will tell you guys that, so you guys know that I have, full disclosure, like I do, I have a deal with Autograph, which is Tom Brady's NFT company, and so I'm part of Tom's NFT. And so the reason I bring this up is that there's an end of the year party, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on air, whatever, but anyway, I'm going to have an opportunity at some point in the future. I'll just say this. Here's what I'll say. That thanks to Autograph, I will have the opportunity at some point in the near future to interview Tom Brady. Right. I'm going to have the opportunity to do that. And I don't know how much time I'm going to get, but I'm just like, what do I ask the guy? And by what do I ask the guy, I mean, like, I need like 4 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's so many things. Like, and I'm just like, I've just been thinking about, I want to ask that. Well, whoa, that might take, you know, like.
You got to make it count.
I got to make it count because I don't know how much time I'm getting with him. But, I mean, I can't tell you how excited I am about this. So, anyway, the fact of the matter is that, you know, he is truly the goat of the goats. I thought the J.J. Watt tweet was accurate. Like, you know, no debate, no discourse. Like, he is. No discussion.
Yeah, it wasn't a debate a couple of years, several years back, you know. But now that he's, you know, retired, maybe he just felt like to put that stamp on it and be like, hey, look. This is what it is. So, but yeah, it's been years since.
It just doesn't feel like, you know, you have, you know, Michael versus LeBron and in the NBA, and there's, you know, there's other sports where you can do that for, where you could say, was it this, it doesn't feel like, I mean, I know you could talk Manning, you can talk Rodgers.
Talking quarterbacks and the greatest and most accomplished, no, I don't think you could.
I think you can argue that, like, Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, they might be better quarterbacks than Tom Brady in terms of the ceiling of their talent. But
definitely.
In terms of career, no one holds a candle to Brady.
And just, the amount of clutch throws Tom Brady has made, you know, the accuracy, just, anyway, it's unbelievable.
Let's talk about some of the fantasy implications
in
terms of players who are dependent on a quarterback like Tom Brady. I mean, Tampa Bay, their pass catcher production this season, I mean, you see the big names at the top of your screen, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Evans, who kind of salvaged this season late, particularly with that monster game against Carolina, but wasn't really himself. Godwin was rock solid despite missing time coming off the ACL at the start of the season. But, I mean, it's an impressive lineup, but it's not quite as impressive if Tom Brady's not throwing them the ball.
To me, Evans and Godwin will be fine. They were fantasy superstars with Jameis Winston, even with, you know, even Fitzmagic. Like, I mean, Mike Evans has had 1,000 receiving yards in every single season he's played in the NFL.
Right.
Which is 9, okay? I mean, Godwin is somebody who emerged prior to Tom Brady coming there. So, obviously, it depends on who they get.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't mind a reunion with Jameis Winston. We'll see. You know, right now, Kyle Trask is the only quarterback currently on the roster for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll see if they decide to do like kind of a full rebuild. And if it was Trask, then you might feel a little bit worse about it. But to me, the one that got the – so I feel like ultimately Evans and Godwin will be fine. I don't think Gage or Julio or any of the complimentary other wide receivers there are anything interesting. To me, the person who loses the most fantasy value without Tom Brady there is Leonard Fournette.
Yep,
for sure. Yeah.
You know, the fact is that Leonard Fournette was somebody who the Jacksonville Jaguars – declined to pick up his fifth-year option and ultimately waived him. You know, they were like, and his, I think if Brady doesn't resuscitate his career, very different outcome for Leonard Fournette in terms of how long he's in the NFL or what his career is. But Brady trusted him in pass pro. Brady loves to dump off to the running back. What made Fournette's fantasy career last year especially, and somewhat this year, but definitely like last year, was all the receptions.
Yeah.
Because Brady just trusted him in the backfield and sort of kept dumping off to him. And so we don't know whatever quarterback is back there isn't going to want Fournette back there as much as Brady did. And we already saw Rashad White eat into his workload towards the end of
last season. Rashad White will be there.
He's on a rookie deal. Yep.
To say about Leonard Fournette, too, he wasn't known as being a pass catcher out the backfield in Jacksonville. Like, he got with Tom Brady, and he unlocked a whole new, you know, piece of his skill set. And we've seen this with Tom Brady from the beginning of him playing with the Patriots. James White, Kevin Falk, whoever he had at the running back. Yeah. There was always Danny Woodhead. He's always had that guy to come in and, you know, we could start him in the flex. Like, there's weeks where we started Woodhead.
Yeah, right.
Definitely James White.
Who is Tom Brady's PPR running back this week? I need
right.
9 points.
Right. And boom, and you know it. Whoever it right. is, like, you're going to get that 9 points right, right there. So that'll be the biggest, you know, change, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, Leonard Fournette looked like he was on the trajectory of, like, late career Le'Veon Bell, late career Todd Gurley, those type of guys. Then all of a sudden he turns into playoff Lenny after being 3.6 yeah. yards per carry Lenny. And, yeah, I think he's definitely going to be the one who suffers the most. Let's talk about the NFC South, which is a complete disaster.
Really. Loaded with quarterbacks.
Yeah, we look at the depth charts at the quarterback position in the NFC South. Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota in Atlanta. The aforementioned great Kyle Trask in Tampa Bay. Frank Reich is inheriting Matt Corral and Jacob Eason. And then the New Orleans Saints, Jameis Winston and Jake Luton. So, yeah, just a murderer's row of great quarterbacks in the division. In terms of who's even the favorite in this division, I would say New Orleans, just because Jameis Winston is the best quarterback currently on the roster, and I think they've also got the best defense.
Yeah,
right. With that offense, I mean, I don't think you can count on Michael Thomas, and we're going to have lots of discussions in the preseason next year about Michael Thomas, but Chris Olave still there gives them an elite option.
Yeah, and we saw some, you know, and Alvin Kamara, like, he's got a legal situation that he has to deal with, and we'll see how that plays out. But we saw some nice moments from Juwan Johnson and Rashid Shaheed, and, like, they had a couple pieces. I agree with you. They have the best defense there. I mean, I'll say this. Carolina played tough under Steve Wilks down the stretch, and we'll see. Be interesting to see what that Carolina defense looks like this upcoming year and what Frank Reich does. You know, if I'm Frank Reich, I'm going to try to keep Steve Wilks. You know, see if you can talk him into
That's
going to
be tough.
I know what's going on there.
He said something on social media too, like, I'm disappointed, but I ain't going to quit. You know how it goes. You know, that'll be like Atlanta trying to get him, right?
Yeah.
And so you know how players do it, coaches do it too, out of spite. Just go right there in the division. Although Steve Wilks better know who he got on that defense in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's – look, at the end of the day, like, you know, the Carolina Panthers owner, David Tepper, wants to win. Like, you know, there's ways to solve, you know, pride issues.
That's a fact, and it's something that's green.
Yeah, exactly, and I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if he pays up or whatever, but, you know, so we'll see how all that happens. I don't think it'll be tough for the Saints to get Andy Dalton back if that's the way they want to go.
Sure.
I think there's going to be a lot of quarterback shuffling. It's going to be a fascinating offseason.
Indeed.
Talk about all the quarterbacks here, but I would agree with you that if I had to place a bet today, the Saints would be where I would bet. But you know what I'm going to do? Not place a bet today.
Wait it out.
I don't think you'll get good enough. I don't think you're – I mean, you tell me, but I don't feel like you get good enough future odds right now that it would be worth it because
there's too much uncertainty.
Too much
uncertainty. All right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, the coaching carousel continues. We'll talk Sean Payton.
Yeah. And Kellen Moore has a new home.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
You don't want to miss the Traitors. 20 fierce competitors gather at a Scottish castle in the hopes of winning up to $250,000. The catch? Three of them are aiming to steal the prize for themselves.
Look at that picture. They're all like, hey, look like a traitor. You can tell the photographer was like, give me your best traitor look.
And if you are watching on Peacock, that's Matthew Berry on the left of your screen. Very in touch in his Scottish traitor mode.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about the coaching carousel.
I feel like I should have been asked to be on that show.
It's all right. It's your first year at NBC.
Next year
is when you start getting the offers.
Next year, I want to be on all the reality shows. I want to be on The Traitors. I want to be on Love Island.
Yeah.
You know?
Matthew Berry on Love Island.
Can you imagine?
That's terrifying.
But that would be great. Here's me on Love Island. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, and here's my wife. These are my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just like
the worst. Who got this guy?
Right, exactly. Just like, you know, some 23-year-old going, like, what am I doing here? This is the worst thing ever.
Unbelievable. God. We do need to get you, though, on the traders. Broncos acquire Coach Sean Payton, Matthew.
Yeah.
They give up a fair bit, first and second round pick. Now, I'm not sure if I was Sean Payton, would have been my first choice to go into the division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. At the same time, there's a lot of talent on the Broncos team. And I think I'm buying Russell Wilson's stock. I think he showed something towards the end of the season. And I think they'll be an above 500 team next year.
I buy all those things. And the other thing is like, figure out where else is Sean Payton going? Like, I mean, because I hear what you're saying. You know, wow, do you really want to go compete against the Chiefs and the Chargers for the next decade? But when you think about the available jobs, right, you need a quarterback. So here's what Sean Payton has in Denver when he goes there, right? So he's sitting here looking. First off, he has owners that are willing to spend money. I mean, you know, it is the Walmart heirs. They put $100,000 into, you know, a new to resod the entire stadium with 1 week left of the season because they felt like it wasn't up to snuff, even though, you know, they could have gotten away with it. Like, so he has an ownership group that wants to win and is willing to clearly spend money. That's a positive, right? It's a good defense. So he's got a good defense. That's a positive. He's got playmakers on the offense. So you assume Javonte Williams comes back healthy. You've got Jerry Jeudy. You've got Courtland Sutton. You've got Greg Dulcich and Albert Aquibanam, right? I mean, you've got some playmakers on offense. And in theory, you have a quarterback. Yes, Russell Wilson had a brutal year last year. But that's the big thing. You know, and Sean Payton's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. And I'm assuming that he looked at the tape and saw some of the same things that we're talking about, where you saw flashes of it. Yeah. You didn't see – he wasn't, you know, prime Super Bowl winning Russell Wilson, but he was –
he didn't have the inevitability that Tom Brady had and that Russell Wilson had for a time.
But, right, correct. But he had some, like, usable. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think you could look at that and say, like, hey, with the right coaching and a right atmosphere, we can win with Russell Wilson.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously going from Nathaniel Hackett to Sean Payton is just a little bit of an upgrade, right? This is what, you know, I would say to fans. Like you said, they'll be an above 500 team. I agree, right? But just when they got Russell Wilson, right, we felt like this team could be competing for the AFC, right? I just want – we should all temper the expectations, like – they'll be battling for second in that division with the Chargers. Like, they'll be a much better team. They'll be more competitive in all of those things. But record-wise and playoff record-wise and losing season records-wise, he's not far off of Mike McCarthy, right? He's not that far off of Mike McCarthy. Both got one Super Bowl win, playoff appearances, 11 for McCarthy. It's great. 9 for Sean Payton. So it's good.
Right.
It's not just some slam dunk, like, hey, we going straight to the divisional round championship. I'm sorry to compare him to Mike McCarthy, but them numbers.
No, listen. I think what's great, Lawrence, is you have decided to go out in a blaze of glory. This is Lawrence's last appearance.
Maybe the retirement video is going to get re-uploaded.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour. So it's been a good run for you. It's been a really good run. We appreciate all your contributions, and we wish you well in the future.
Wow. Mike
Lawrence.
Love Island, Mike McCarthy.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
All right.
But honestly, seriously, like, the fact of the matter is that I hear you on the fact, yes, he only has one Super Bowl, but certainly much more competitive than Mike McCarthy in Sean Payton's career coaching the Saints, right? He had, you know, he coached for 15 years. Breeze was the starting quarterback for 14 of them, but his offense led the NFL in yards 6 different times. They were top 10 in 13 of the 15 seasons. They top 3 in points 6 different times. He was top 10 in points 12 of 15 seasons. McCarthy does not have that kind of resume in terms of generating an offense, right? He doesn't. I mean, you know, so you can sit there and say, ultimately, when it comes down to wins and losses, that, yeah, I guess they, you know, the goal is ultimately a Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't have an argument for the fact they only each of them only have one Super Bowl, but I just felt like, maybe this is unfair to McCarthy, but I always felt like his Packers teams and clearly his Cowboys teams have always underperformed. And I've never felt that with Sean Payton.
I think
Sean Payton had basically one guy.
I think the difference is
Drew Brees and Michael Thomas.
With Payton, you could see the scheme. Every single play, you could see the scheme, that what was going on. With Green Bay and Mike McCarthy, you could see Aaron Rodgers in a Superman cape. That's all I could see. I didn't see the scheme with Aaron Rodgers ever. It was just Aaron Rodgers doing
Aaron Rodgers, cool stuff. Go bail us out.
Yeah, exactly.
Go make something
happen. So, let's stay in the division that
was talking
about the Chargers.
I just don't know that. Pretend Sean Payton gets offered every single job in the NFL that's open right now. What's a better job?
I guess the thing is there are so many quarterbacks who are pretty good, who are available, that maybe going to Carolina doesn't look as bad, because if you can get Rodgers or Carr or Jimmy G and have that be your guy. But I agree that the Broncos are the highest win total.
The Cardinals, you know, with Kyler. Could you go fix Kyler? That'd be one. I could see you arguing that, but they don't have the defense, and that's a tough division too.
Yep. Speaking of that division, Chargers officially hire Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator from Lawrence Jackson's Mike McCarthy-led Dallas Cowboys. And, I think this is a home run relative to Joe Lombardi, who seemed to have a 0% approval rating and didn't go down in a blaze of glory against Jacksonville. Lawrence, what do you think of the Kellen Moore hire?
I mean, anything different is good. Again, I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. You said slam dunk. I say it'll be better. It should be better. You know, the numbers went down for Justin Herbert, but they were able to get into the playoffs this year. So that, like, you always substitute that. You see the numbers there. The touchdowns went way down in 2022 from 38 to 25 here, but they missed the playoffs. It was a different Chargers team, always coming from behind. That's why you see Herbert went from quarterback 2 in fantasy to only the quarterback 15. But they were able to win a lot of tight games. Upgrade here. I think Kellen Moore kind of got scapegoated like many offensive coordinators in the league. So it's going to be solid. But, I mean, I could see by June, July, we're going to be talking about Justin Herbert as a potential MVP candidate. I won't be talking about that, but it will be getting talked about.
Well, because you won't have a show. You'll be talking to it, but it'll be at your house.
Tweets is going to be tweeting.
Your kids.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a Michael Kaufman.
Yeah. So I actually agree with Lawrence on this part, which, I mean, I think Joe Lombardi was scapegoated. I think Kellen Moore was scapegoated. I think both guys were scapegoated. I think the anti-Joe Lombardi arguments are all arguments you can make against Brandon Staley. The fact is that, or even Justin Herbert, who had, you know, how much of Justin Herbert's regression this year was due to poor play calling by Joe Lombardi, and how much it was due to the fact that their offensive line got beat up. He didn't have Keenan Allen for a long time, and then when he finally got Keenan Allen back, Mike Williams goes down, right? He you know, didn't have all those guys, you know, he didn't have a full complement of offensive weapons here. It sounds insane to say this, but, you know, they lose Jalen Guyton in the preseason, and you're like, Jalen Guyton, who cares? And the fact is, though, but Jalen Guyton was like their deep threat, and they could use him to stretch defenses. And even though Jalen Guyton only probably ran like 5 or 6 go routes a game, like that was enough to open things up, and they didn't really have a true deep threat on that team. I mean, you know,
Rashawn Slater, their best offensive lineman, goes down for the year effectively.
I don't know. It just felt like Joe Lombardi, I think, got scapegoated a little bit. I do think Kellen Moore, I thought that was a moronic move by the Dallas Cowboys as a Commanders fan. I was thrilled by it. I love the fact that Mike McCarthy is going to coach plays. we'll have all preseason to talk about this and everything like that. But, like, if you look at Mike McCarthy's numbers prior to getting Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you know, like, even in the 2 years, his last 2 years in Green Bay, Mike McCarthy was, like, bottom 12 in the NFL in terms of, in terms of points scored and everything like that. I think it's very telling that as soon as Mike McCarthy left, Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs.
Right. People were starting to think that Aaron Rodgers was washed.
Right.
Like, he would throw for 26 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, which is good, by the way. They're like, nah, you're done.
Meanwhile, Kellen Moore, for the Cowboys, top 6 in points scored 3 of the 4 seasons. He called the plays, led the league in yards 2 of his 4 seasons, top 8 in passing yards in 3 of 4 years, top 10 in rushing yards in 3 of 4 years. I don't know why he doesn't get any credit for developing Tony Pollard. You know, obviously that happened under his watch. Uh-huh. Dalton Schultz became a thing under his watch. Michael Gallup, his development happened under his watch. CeeDee Lamb moving from a complimentary receiver to Amari Cooper to a number one that he was this year under his watch. I don't know. Listen, I'm a Commanders fan. I can't stand the Cowboys. I think Kellen Moore is pretty good. I think this is a home run hire for the Los Angeles Chargers and a dumb move by the Cowboys. And as a Commanders fan, I'm thrilled about it.
Okay. Well, I think another home run move is the Houston Texans hiring 49ers defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans as their head coach. 6-year deal, which is good because he might need 6 years, yeah. Matthew.
To well, he needed it.
Hopefully you get more than one.
Exactly. The last two coaches only got one. Yeah. They're like, hey, we'd like to hire you. Is it a 1-year deal? Nah. Well, no, it's a one with an option. I'm going to need more than that. Four? I'm going to need more than that. I don't trust you guys. Right. So if you get rid of me after 1 year, at least you got to pay me out for five more. So good for D'Amico Ryans, who is, by all accounts, like an unbelievably great guy, great in the locker room. Obviously, the numbers speak for himself in terms of the defense that he had with San Francisco. But, you know, talking to people that know him around the league, just like, this is a guy that you knew was going to be a head coach one day. Like, right. Just the way he carries himself, his organization, the way he sees the game. So this is a really good move for the Houston Texans.
Yep, and he was the hottest candidate outside of Sean Payton. He was going to have his pick for pretty much any job.
Well, and by the way, I loved this. Did you see that, you know, there was like dueling reports because Schefter was like, the Broncos were all in on Sean Payton. They never wavered. Whereas Ian Rappaport of NFL Network was like, oh no, they were trying to get Ryans.
And
Sean Payton was their second choice. They tried very hard to get Ryan. So we'll see how that plays out. So very different reports.
A+ subtweeting there. Let's talk about the Chicago Bears. Reports coming out that they are trying to trade the number one overall pick. Shock horror. Of the 2023 NFL draft. We take a look at the betting odds now for who will be taken first overall. Bryce Young has been the favorite for a while now. He's -120. CJ Stroud +250. And both of those you would expect would be predicated on the Bears trading that pick. And then you've got Jalen Carter 5-1, Will Anderson 5-1, Will Levis and Miles Murphy bringing up the
wonder,
rear.
It's really interesting on Bryce Young just because I wonder if as we go through the combine, you remember with Kyler Murray, you know, there was a lot of like hand size talk and how tall is he really? Like Bryce Young's not a big guy. Like I've met Bryce Young and I've taken a picture next to him and I'm taller than Bryce Young.
No.
I'm taller and thicker than Bryce Young, I felt like, you know. I swear, like again, and I'm a fat dude, but like
I'm just saying
like whatever. I'm like I'm 6 foot. I'm 6 foot and
that's what they list him. Well, 5'11", 6 foot they list him.
I'll show you guys a pic. I have a picture somewhere that we took together. I'm not towering over him, but he's not like, I mean, at best we're the same height. He might be slightly shorter than me. And I'm just, and so my point is there's no question about the kid's talent. Like he was unbelievable at Alabama. I'm just wondering if, you know, you saw this with Kyler Murray. You've seen this over the years with a couple of different quarterbacks. Kenny Pickett in the hand size and the whole thing, and Kyler Murray in terms of his height. Russell Wilson got knocked down to the third round because of his height. I just wonder if it's interesting that he's the betting favorite right now, because I could see once we get to the combine, you start getting some measurements that there could be some, you know, negative talk.
What I would say to that is that Kyler Murray ended up going number one despite all of that. I think that
and has proven himself.
Yes,
and has proven himself as a franchise quarterback in the NFL.
Obviously, same as
Russell Wilson.
You know, a lot of entertainment. We got a long offseason ahead of. Remember, you know, Devontae Smith used to be too skinny.
Right,
he ain't too skinny no more. Even though he probably gained 2 pounds since then. You know, but that being said, Bryce Young being the betting favorite. Could have had something to do with why D'Amico Ryans. Everybody like, why would you want to go coach the Texans? Well, you get your quarterback, you get a fresh start. This is where you used to play. Like, you really get to start from the ground up. So, and if Bryce Young is there, you know, why not?
Yep, I'm with you there. And I would be shocked if the Bears didn't trade the pick just because they have their quarterback and there are so many teams that need a quarterback.
I've seen some people suggest that the Bears should get rid of Justin Fields and trade Justin Fields, which is the most insane thing in the world.
Maybe if it was Andrew Luck in the draft or Peyton Manning or something, but these guys aren't projected to be clearly better than Justin Fields.
Justin Fields probably would be the top quarterback prospect in this draft, and that's right. why we're, you know. But as soon as the Texans lost that Week 18 game, folks just went, oh, the Bears want to trade him. Like, did you not see this kid? Just try to do for him what they did for Trevor Lawrence. And in that division now with Aaron Rodgers possibly gone, like, you could be seeing the Bears as that next team in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, there was a learning curve for Justin Fields, but once it clicked on, you were like, oh, man. I mean, like, he's obviously going to be a top pick in fantasy, but Justin, how many times this year did we say that Justin Fields can play?
Yep.
The kid can flat out play football. Anyway, but, you know, the Bryce Young, the hot takes, everything like that, those are the kind of things you'll see from Lawrence's couch.
I'm going to find my way always on this show.
We'll see. I'm looking forward to the debut episode of Lawrence's couch.
All right, well, Jimmy Garoppolo might be on the couch for a little while he looks for a new team. 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan said he doesn't see any scenario in which Jimmy G returns to the team in 2023. And here is Kyle Shanahan talking about Trey Lance and Brock Purdy.
And are you content enough with Brock and Lance being the top two guys going into training camp, or would you be looking for a high profile veteran?
No, we're content enough. I know we have two starters on our team right now that I believe we can win with. So when you have that situation, you're not that eager to go looking around. The good thing about Brock is that wasn't an issue. It was a freak accident that I think everyone saw what happened. And when you talk to the doctors, it takes 3 months to really get back to repairing it and building it up the right way. And in 6 months, he'll be the same guy.
All right, here we go. If you look at Jimmy G's stats side by side with Brock Purdy, 7-3 for Jimmy, 7-0 for Brock Purdy. And, it makes me think that maybe I don't want to give Jimmy G a huge contract in the offseason if Mr. Irrelevant could do that in the San Francisco offense. But Lawrence, who's going to start week one for the Niners?
Man, I feel like this injury just opened the door a little bit, and it's going to end up being Trey Lance. A couple shows back, you said, Matthew, if Brock Purdy gets this team to the Super Bowl, you don't have to win it, but if they get him to the Super Bowl and it's because of him, then there will be no question, and I definitely agree with that. But now, because of the injury, and Trey Lance may be a little ahead, he may be a little ahead in his recovery, it just opened the door. That's not something I'm just planting a flag. Like, it's just my gut feeling for today.
Yeah. No. We will tune into future episodes of you on your couch to see
That thing going to blow up.
On the Niners.
That show going to blow up.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait.
We'll be rivals.
100%. It'd be exciting. It'd be like, you'll have different fabric on the couch each week. I can already see, like, what plant will Lawrence have today next to him on the couch.
I'm going to get Tom Brady on my show. He won't be on this
that's
one.
Fine. That's fair. All that's very fair. I think Lawrence might be right on this one. I do think that Brock Purdy starts games for the Niners next year. But I feel like, first off, draft capital in terms of what they've invested in Trey Lance. And felt like this last year, right? I mean, we could have had this exact same discussion a year ago, Trey Lance versus Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right.
Jimmy Garoppolo led them to the playoffs. Jimmy Garoppolo has been solid for them, everything like that. And yet, they were like, no, we're all in on Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that, you know, he played whatever it was, you know, like three games, you know, in the past 2.5 years. They were all in on Trey Lance. And I feel like that's going to be the same thing. I feel like draft capital, and that they made such a big bet on Trey Lance. They'll say all the right things, and it'll be a battle, and it'll be a camp battle and everything like that. The one weird thing about it is, an offense with Trey Lance as your quarterback is very different than the Brock Purdy offense. I mean, the Brock Purdy offense is the Garoppolo offense. Like, he's a drop-back passer, you know what I mean? It's like a lot of quick screens and that kind of stuff. Whereas with Trey Lance, you want to get him on the move and take advantage of his mobility. And so it just feels weird. It just feels like they've been so successful with kind of this, you know, stand in the pocket, solid middle-of-the-road guy.
Just the guy.
Quarterback. But I agree. I just think the upside of Trey Lance, they've invested so much in it. It'll be his job to lose.
Yep. I think we're going to see Trey Lance as the starter, but with a short leash as Brock Purdy heals. All right, we're going to break. When we come back, it's Groundhog Day on the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. We'll talk about what will repeat next year.
I can tell you one that won't. Lawrence. I like the fact that you were celebrating both the Chiefs and Eagles going to the Super Bowl by wearing a New York Liberty sweatshirt.
The big winners yesterday in New York. Yeah, we got green, we got red.
But you know what? Whatever. Lawrence changes it up. You basically either wear a New York Liberty thing or Jets.
Women's sports.
You're like the guy in Coming to America, where you were like, you moved here from Australia, and you went to like the first like tacky store you could find, and you're like, what do you have? I New York sports fan, and that you like give me five of those Liberty things, and give me a couple of Jets shirts. Okay, I'm good. I've got my wardrobe for the season.
We got Breanna Stewart now on the New York Liberty Matthew Berry. Just the best women's basketball player in the world.
Yeah, you're not repping.
Like, I was going to wear it, but my 8-month-old daughter vomited all over it. So it was best for America.
Yeah,
it was
job.
A real
good
kind
job.
Of Arden Key falling on Patrick Mahomes' leg type scenario. And I'm not sure we're going to see that Liberty hoodie again. But it is Groundhog Day, 30th anniversary, one of the great films of the 1980s.
Don't drive angry.
Don't drive angry. So we're going to talk about...
Would you like to ruin the ending of that one? It's been 30 years.
No, I won't.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't. There you go. I'm feeling generous today. So we're going to talk about what we're going to be seeing deja vu with next year. So let's start off with that.
Because it's Groundhog Day. Just the idea of because Groundhog Day, things happen again and again, like again in the movie. And so the premise here to fill time... is Kent, what do we think happened this year in fantasy football? Can it potentially repeat?
Yeah.
So in case anyone didn't understand the premise.
We'll just keep repeating. So Breanna Stewart signed with the New York Liberty.
And Lawrence's Couch is a new show debuting on...
Couch is clean.
On NBC Sports. NBC and YouTube
Let's start with you, Matthew. Will YouTube Justin channel. Fields go nuclear again? What's he going to be? Is he going to be like QB3, QB4 next year?
He will. They're going to get him some weapons this offseason as well. Even just having Chase Claypool there for a full season, you know, another year of Cole Kmet, having Darnell Mooney healthy. And I think they will add to the receiving core there. Fields, just, you know, seven different games with 80 or more rushing yards. And I think when you watch those games, you're like, that kid's special. 100% he repeats as a top five fantasy quarterback. No question.
Okay. Lawrence, will Daniel Jones or Geno Smith repeat their top 10 finishes next year?
I'm going to say yes for Geno Smith and no for Daniel Jones. Geno Smith will still have Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. They need to upgrade their defense. Daniel Jones, on the other hand, we know they need receivers, but we don't know if and how they're going to get them. He's only thrown for 300 yards against either the Vikings or the Texans. His next best game is 225. I'll say Geno over Daniel Jones.
Okay. A name that wasn't on that list of the top 10 quarterbacks was Russell Wilson. Is he going to finish outside the top 12 again, Matthew, with Sean Payton?
I don't believe he will. Okay. I don't believe he will. I mean, look, he had only three games with two or more touchdown passes. Look, Sean Payton's two things. I think Sean Payton's a good coach. I think he's obviously a very good offensive coach. But more importantly here, like, Sean Payton is somebody who likes the numbers. Like, you think about the year that Drew Brees was chasing the record for most passing yards. Like, they were like, it's second and one, you're throwing. I mean, fourth down, we're going for it. I mean, throw. Hey, we're up 40 points in the fourth quarter. I don't care. Drew, get on out there and keep chucking. So, if nothing else, Sean Payton knows that they're tied to Russell Wilson the way apparently I'm tied to Lawrence. they're tied to Russell Wilson. They can't get out of that deal. So they've got to make Russell Wilson work. And I think if nothing else, a superficial way to make it work is to get him big numbers and stats. Yep. Sean Payton will make sure that Russell Wilson has a good year statistically.
They got the receivers to do it.
And they got the receivers to do it. It'll be a good scheme. Yes, 100%. It does not repeat.
Okay. Lawrence, is Josh Jacobs going to repeat his top five finish?
If we're feeling like he's going to still be a Raider, I'll say yeah. You know, we got to see who the quarterback is. If it's Aaron Rodgers like Devontae Adams want, I'll definitely say yes. Outside of that, I'm going to say no. Top five, being a repeat top five guy, it's hard to do unless you're like Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler.
Yeah, I'm going to say no just because he's a running back and there's so much volatility and attrition at the position. Speaking of running backs, Matthew, can Tony Pollard and Ramondre Stevenson repeat their top 10 seasons?
Tony Pollard, I'm going to say no. Ultimately, this is Mike McCarthy. Like, they, again, Pollard's a free agent. Zeke is a free agent. So it all depends. But assuming I'm going to take it the NFL as it is today, which is that Pollard and Zeke are both on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Obviously, if Zeke leaves, then yes on Pollard.
Right.
But assuming both guys are back with the Cowboys, I'm going to say no because of Mike McCarthy and because of Jerry Jones. Like, Jerry Jones loves Zeke, and they're going to want to use him quite a bit, even on a restructured contract. And, you know, one of the things I'm known for is a whole thing that I did back on my ESPN days was the whole Free Aaron Jones, hashtag Free Aaron Jones. Like, I started that, and that became your rallying cry. And it all started because of Mike McCarthy, who refused to free Aaron Jones. We were like, this guy is the best running back on your team, and it's not close.
Scenario.
Why will you not use him? It will be a committee in Dallas, and so I am nervous. And I also think the offense won't be nearly as good under McCarthy as it was under Kellen Moore. So I'll say no on Pollard, but I will say yes on Stevenson just because I think he's a very talented player. They're not going to have much there. The Patriots will have a better offense under Bill O'Brien this coming year, I believe. And Bill O'Brien is, you know, speaking of Arian Foster, Bill O'Brien has traditionally used one running back. I think Ramondre Stevenson is the best guy on that team.
Yep. I didn't know you were known for free Aaron Jones. I thought you were just known for your Austrian accent.
I'm known for
a lot
of
chicken
things.
Fingers.
I'm known for a lot of things, candidly. You know, listen, when you're as old as I am, you've built up quite a life resume. So, that's one of the things
gonna
I'm
be
known for.
You're going to be known as the guy with a show on the couch soon.
Me? What are you talking about? No. I don't think you understand.
Remember Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe?
Dude.
You remember that?
I don't think you understand. Listen.
Come on.
I joke about this, but like, you don't understand how terrible a contract NBC signed with me. They're like, much like the Broncos with Russell Wilson actually is NBC to me. NBC
touché,
has to make me
touché,
worse.
Touché.
Like, they're, yeah, it's, you have no idea. Yeah, no, there have been there's been like three different executives that have already been fired because of my contract. You have no idea.
Speaking of disappointments, yeah. Lawrence, Jonathan Taylor, is there going to be another disappointment for JT?
I'm going to say no, man. The talent's just too good. I will
Great.
Say this. I like to see one of them. I would like to see the Colts get one of these quarterbacks, either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. So the offense just needs to go. It needs to move. It'll be able to do that with one of these top rookie quarterbacks. So I'm going to say no, he's not going to have another disappointing season. So I'll go with that there on JT.
Okay. I'm going to ask just the next question to myself. Will Jamal Williams lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns again? No. Next question. Is there going to be another wide receiver one season, Matthew, for Cooper Kupp coming off the injury?
I'm going to say no, just because, you know, whether it's Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, there's just too many other candidates coming off of a serious injury. I'm nervous about Stafford in the lower back. Cooper Kupp's still going to be one of the top five wide receivers drafted this year, and he should be. But if you're telling me, does he absolutely finish number one overall? I don't, because you sit there and you look at it. You could easily see Diggs finish there. You could see Tyreek in his second year McDaniel system finish there. Davante Adams, I mean, you know, like, he's all they got. So,
Adams was sixth.
I mean, that's what's crazy. And so, you know, how about my guy Amon-Ra, too?
Yeah.
By the way,
that could be the dark horse wide receiver one overall.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, two contenders for wide receiver one, Lawrence, Tyreek
Hill. I mean, I love my little Cooper Kupp, but, you know.
I know you do. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, are they going to repeat as top 12 wide receivers?
Man, that one is tough. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill had his best season. Jalen Waddle had his best season to date. They both won't have to repeat this exact season to both be top 12 receivers. The passing volume is going to be just too much, although they do need to upgrade their running back room.
Yeah. All right, Matthew, any chance that Travis Kelce doesn't dominate the tight end position again? Any chance that someone could usurp him or at least make it close?
I guess, to me, the only way is that the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and he retires.
TJ Hawkinson, full year with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Hawkinson's there. Like, you know, we expect, assuming Lamar Jackson is back, paid, and healthy and happy with the Ravens, Mark Andrews is in the mix. But I just, Kelce is too good. Mahomes is too good. Andy Reid is too good. He's going to be the number one tight end drafted, and I think he should be.
Okay. Speaking of tight ends, Lawrence, Kyle Pitts, a bit of a taboo name on this show. Is he going to score under three touchdowns again?
No, because Lamar Jackson is going to be his quarterback. He'll get more.
You know that's not happening.
I know it's not happening. But
you need to start talking yourself into Desmond Ritter now.
He'll be.
You need to start talking yourself into Desmond Ritter
Kyle
now.
Kyle Pitts for at least four touchdowns in 2023.
All right. Matthew, Tom Brady, is he going to be playing football in the NFL next year again?
Boy, no, I don't think he can do it. I don't think he pulls a Favre. Favre retired and unretired like a bunch of different times. I think Brady thought this through. I don't think he plays in the NFL.
But feels like Jordan. Jordan came back once. Jordan came back a couple times. But thinking about the Wizards.
I mean, I will just say that you could see a thing where, I mean, there's a couple scenarios where
San Francisco, Brock Purdy and Trey Lance go down.
Yeah. What if Belichick calls him? What if Robert Kraft and Belichick call him and say, hey.
I'd back 30-1 that Tom Brady takes a snap in the
can't
NFL.
Can't play with our emotions like this.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We're going to break when we come back.
If I have to predict, I'm going to say no, which means it'll be wrong. He won't play a snap next year.
All right. Next week, gentlemen, we'll be at the Super Bowl in Arizona live from Radio Row. We'll be 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern as always. Looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Here's the whole schedule. Starting off with the Dan Patrick Show. PFT Live is after us. And then, of course, Brother from Another. I wonder if we'll get to meet Dan.
I think we will. I think that's much more likely than Tom Brady coming back into the NFL. I'd back -300 we meet Dan. Super Bowl line opened. Chiefs -2.5. Flipped to Eagles -2.5. Now it's Eagles -1.5. I still think the Chiefs should be favored. I think they're the best bet, man.
You still think the Chiefs?
Right? I think the Chiefs should. I think they'll win. I think they should be favored.
I do too. And so I took the Chiefs +1.5. Yeah, give me that. So I like the Chiefs money line. I like the Chiefs with the points as well.
Likes the Eagles.
Give me the opposite of all that. Eagles money line. Let's go.
Lawrence has had a great career in fantasy football. Happy hour.
Yes,
thank you, Lawrence. For Jay Croucher, I'm Matthew Berry. We'll see you in Arizona. Peace out.